Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Welcome back. Áine Kerr here sitting in for Brendan. Now, we are going to go and talk about summertime, the sounds, the smells and the music that evoke memories of holidays past. And I've got three people here in studio ready to reminisce. Writer Rosalind D, CEO and founder of Goss.ie, Alexandra Ryan, and Professor of Psychiatry in Trinity College, Brendan Kelly. Thank you all for joining us. I often think that if we had sunnier climates all the time, we'd have different personalities, different body language, disposition about us. What is it, Brendan, about the sunshine? And we look at projections today of 21 degrees on our apps this morning. Why do we love the sunshine so much?
The sunshine is very healthy for us. It's good for our bodies physically. We produce more vitamin D, which is good for our bones, our immune system and our mood. And we produce more serotonin, which is one of the chemicals in our bodies. Now, you know, it's very complex what serotonin does, but broadly speaking, it does make us more relaxed. It usually makes us happier. So there are lots of biological reasons why the sun is good for us and why long periods of sunshine particularly tend to make us healthier and happier. And that's basically why we enjoy the sunshine.
What even about the physical changes? You know, we're renowned as a country. We break out the barbecues, we get into the shorts and sandals. There's a real physical change, isn't there? It's very sensory for us when the sunshine emerges.
Yes, yes, it is. And I mean, certainly in Ireland, we react almost hysterically. People are in shorts and t-shirts within minutes of the sun making even the dimmest appearance in the sky. They must carry them around in their bags. But your point about the senses is so important because the sun takes us out of our heads. You know, we live very cognitive lives. We're thinking, we're doing, we're reading. But the sun brings us into our bodies. The sense of touch, maybe short sleeves, maybe shorts, feeling the warmth, maybe going swimming. And many of our holiday memories, as I'm sure we'll get to, they're very sensory memories. Things we ate, things we saw, things we smelt. So the sun gets us out of our heads and into our bodies. And that is something we all need to do more of.
Ross, does it lift your spirits?
Of course it does, yeah. I mean, I think it's funny though when we see people in the shorts at, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and then by 4 o'clock in the afternoon the trousers have to go back on or the Gansy or whatever. But yeah, of course it changes the mood. I mean, I've just actually been in Italy for a few months based there and the weather wasn't great. I mean, May was probably the wettest May in Venice they've had in a long time. But then on a day when, and I walk a lot, but on a day when the sun came out, I felt I could walk forever. It just absolutely lifts your spirits and changes your attitude to life.
And on the days it was wetter and raining?
Stay in, read the book, you know, my dog looking at me longingly to go out, even though he hates the rain as well. But it definitely, definitely changes the mood.
Would you feel homesick for Greystones when it's raining like that in Venice or no?
Not really. I know Venice so well at this stage. It's kind of like a home from home, you know. But yeah, I mean, the sunshine is lovely. And the sunshine, when it's sunny in Greystones, it's a lovely place to be.
Alexandra, do you actively seek out the sunshine on its rare appearance?
Yes, definitely. I actually do love the winter months as well, like snuggling up with a book, a few candles on, fire on. I love that. But there's something about the summer. I always have said, if Ireland was sunny all the time, I actually think it would probably be one of the number one tourist destinations in the world. It's not just that everyone seems more attractive, seems in a better mood. You know, we smell better, we look better, we feel better. And I always feel like, where did all these gorgeous people come from? But it's just like we're smiling and we're happier. But also just the landscape in Ireland is so beautiful that when the sun shines and the clouds move and we can actually see into the distance, it's beautiful seaside, it's mountainous, like Kerry, Waterford, like looking even at the west coast of Ireland. But even in Dublin, like for me, like going to Dunleary, Black Rock with a coffee in, you know, a sleeveless top or something. There's just something so lovely about it. And maybe it is the serotonin, but even like having a 99 and just being able to sit outside with your friend and not like huddle under a bit of rain, there is something so nice about it. And like smelling the salt air of the sea and just seeing everyone. I feel like we all hide away when it's bad weather. Suddenly you see everybody that you know when the sun shines out. And it's just such a lovely community feeling, which I feel like is in Europe a lot more than here, because it's always in squares or palazzos because everyone's outside because the weather is nice, and we don't really get that often.
Brendan, you talked there about our childhood memories and how that can be very sensory, and it's the smells and the taste. Take us back to your own childhood and Galway and maybe your first memories of aimless summers and being a bookish kid.
Yes, yes, I was a very bookish kid. I, for many years, and to an extent still now I regard a sunny day as a good day to walk to the cinema as opposed to get the bus. But there's something nice about stepping out of the sunshine and then stepping back into it. So as a child, I grew up in Galway City. I spent summers hanging around, which is a very important activity. There's not so much of it now. Time tends to be very structured for children, but certainly hanging around in Galway, going on family holidays. We had spectacular family holidays in England and France in a caravan, which, you know, a tow around kind of caravan as a family, with visits to London, Paris and all over the place. So, you know, I was very bookish indeed, spent a lot of time at the movies, but also some time outside and some really, really nice trips in Ireland and beyond.
You weren't one for the sun lounger then or now, I take it, no?
No, I enjoy the sun, but I don't tend to sit around in it. But sitting around in it can be very, very good, and really sensing into the feeling of the warmth, you know, on your arms and on your body and so forth. That is so helpful, along with the contrast of going inside.
Because do you think it's important that sometimes we just allow kids, like, it's okay to be bored. You don't have to be constantly distracted when you reflect back on your own childhood years.
Absolutely. No, that the hanging around is very, very important. Drifting about the place and just hanging out for hours and hours. And, you know, we remember these summers because we have something called state-dependent memory. So when it's warm and you're outside, you remember times and emotions from the past when it was warm and you were outside. And summer is so sensual that it evokes these summer memories from the past very powerfully. And it also opens us up, as you were saying, to connection. Mm-hmm. We're more open to connect with other people, connect with nature. And this has a powerfully positive effect on our bodies as well.
Ross, take us back to Derry and that sense of connection, the beach, the picnics.
Yeah, well, Coleraine, I grew up in Coleraine, but on the Port Stewart Road. So we were only 3 miles from what I would consider one of the most beautiful beaches in the world. So, Port Stewart Beach, we called it Burnside Beach, is part and parcel of my childhood memories, being there with my parents. I mean, I found a photograph a while ago of my mother and father. They were probably in their late 40s, I'd say, sitting on two deck chairs on Burnside Beach, and my mother had her coat off and buttoned to the top.
I think we all have a photo like that.
But we also went to Godore a lot in Donegal. My dad was born there, so we would always head when other, you know, school friends of mine, this, when I'm sort of 8, 9, we're talking in the 60s, school friends would have gone to Bangor and County Down of a Sunday or whatever, but no, into the car and off to Godore. And also, I mean, my older sister and I were just talking about it recently. You know, when I look back, we didn't have loads of money or anything like that, but my parents were very adventurous. I mean, we went to Spain, we went to Italy. My father got 2 weeks holidays, first 2 weeks in August every year. He was in the drapery business and he would point the car in the direction of Belfast. We'd be all packed up. I remember the Heysham ferry. I remember the, you know, it wasn't drive on, drive off. So you watched your car in trepidation being lifted off in one of those big rope baskets. I mean, thinking, oh my God, it was extraordinary. And then off we'd go down through France onto Spain. We always camped because we couldn't afford to stay in hotels. We camped Lido di Jesolo in Italy, Tossa de Mar in Spain, and just fantastic memories and experiences.
Was one of the key things, whether it was Derry or abroad, mm-hmm. was packing the picnic.
Oh, my mother was unbelievable. My mother didn't do things by halves. So, I mean, it wasn't a few I'll hang sandwiches, you know. It was, you know, that might be a full chicken cooked and wrapped and salad. And there were a few sandwiches, proper plates, no plastic stuff, proper plates, proper cutlery. The rug would be spread and we would all sit down and have our picnic. My mother's picnics were amazing.
High standards.
Standards, yeah, which I have to say I have never lived up to, but anyway.
And when you think back to all of those road trips and the ferries over to Europe, like even in the car, like do you think back to the temperatures? It's probably in a time before aircon in the cars and the cassette tapes
and the music and all of that. And one of my real abiding memories, and I know sometimes your memory can play tricks on you, but I think I was probably about 8. And we were driving through France and heading for, I can't even remember if it was Italy or Spain that year. And my father, we was asleep in the back seat of the car at like, I don't know, 1 a.m, 2 a.m. And my dad wakening me, saying, wake up, wake up. And looking and pointing and in the distance, because we were travelling round Paris I could see the Eiffel Tower lit up. I've Amazing. Never forgotten it. It's just, you know, one of those memories that lodges in your head and is forever there, you know.
Beautiful memory yeah. to have. For you, Alexandra, you grew up in Dublin in the initial years, but back and forth to a farm on Limerick before you moved to Limerick. What are some of the memories that you think of?
Yeah, I have a couple of different memories. So like when we were first just in Dublin, we went to like British, or we used to go to Dublin Mountains quite a lot. I know there was a couple of like child kind of water parks and stuff. I actually can't remember all the name of them, but we would have gone to like Mosney or Butlins, and it was called back then. But even small little things, like we'd drive out to Paris Court where the waterfall was, and we'd also have a picnic. So it's something that we've all done now, me and my sisters, is have picnic baskets with the proper forks and the cutlery as well, and with the food. Like there was no delivery, or there wasn't even really food places when you went away. We would just find a piece of grass basically and sit down. And I remember watching ants taking away little pieces of our bread and thinking it was hilarious. And then, so when I was very small, like my nana would have brought me to Bray. So I remember like getting my first 99s, walking along the Bray side there, and fish and chips. And then as I got older, so before we moved to Limerick, yes, my great aunt had a farm, and I used to be kind of sent off there for a couple of weeks, and I'd sleep in the farmhouse and everything. And my days consisted of putting on the wellies, going down to feed the calves, going down to mudlands. It was such a different experience.
Culture shock.
Yeah. But I always remember it was just so peaceful being there, because obviously I grew up in Knocklyon, so being in like a suburb really close to town kind of space, or to the square, all that sort of thing, and then being here, I just had so much time by myself. So I was just always using my imagination, or I was playing with a tennis racket and a ball and just a wall. Like there was no one else there, but I used to love just like walking around the fields, picking mushrooms. I loved the cattle so much that I actually got ringworms, so I used to be hugging them and everything, so that wasn't great. And then when we moved to Limerick, I kind of was getting more into my teen years, so then suddenly I had the benefit of being very close to Clare, so Lahinch, or the other side, going to Ballybunion. And I fell in love with periwinkles. If anyone is listening and understands what periwinkles are, they're like baby mussels, but they're very salty. And you buy a bag. I think back in the day, it was like a euro for a bag with a pin. And I would just eat like 50 of them. And I always crave them now.
Even
now, and I'd say I haven't had them in 20 years. Like I'm 34 now. So it was around that kind of 14, 15 time frame. And I was obsessed. I can literally smell Lahinch when I think of them. And even like small silly things. I used to pick up shells and think I could hear the ocean. You know, all these things you tell yourself. I used to collect stones from beaches and paint them. And it's funny, I don't paint them now, but I actually still collect stones on beaches when I go on foreign holidays now. If I find a stone that looks really beautiful, I want to take it home. So that obviously comes from doing that as a child.
And you keep a collection. It's like I have a collection of memories.
And the first time I did it, you do that as well.
I do that as well.
The first time I did it was in a pier. So when I moved to Limerick, I moved to a countryside town called Palaskenry, and there's a pier there. And when I first went there, my great aunt who owned the farm, I used to randomly pick little rocks there. So I only now realise why I do it, but I only did it a few weeks ago when I was in Spain. But now I'm like, oh yeah, that's because when I was a child I love it. So there is something about the summer that almost brings you back to that childlike feeling where you think you're a child again, and it reminds you of just being young again. It's lovely.
Brendan Kelly, everything Alexandra's describing you there, and the summer memories and experiences, it does prepare you for life then, and the autonomy and the independence away from your parents. When you think back to that first steps out into the big world, where did that take you to in terms of your independent travels?
Well, I was very fortunate. We had superb summer holidays as children, but they were mainly in Europe, in England, Scotland, Wales, France, Belgium. My first big trip without my parents was to, of all places, Japan. And I arrived in Japan, I was very young at the time, and stepped off that aeroplane, and I had my first real experience of profound foreignness, let's say. How exotic it was to be in another country. You know, as you walk down the steps of the aeroplane, a wave of heat hits you, there's a different smell, everything looks different. And this was Japan. It was like landing on another planet altogether. And at that moment, I fell in love with long distance travel, which is something I've tried to do as much as conceivably possible since then. Obviously, I'm very privileged to be able to do some of it, and one has to take the environment very much into account with these kinds of trips. But there is nothing quite like, as a young person, realising you're in a profoundly different country where you look around and just don't understand what's happening. And I did get the same feeling in future years in China and India and elsewhere. But it's so valuable as a young person to experience that, and to experience it without your parents. That's all the more exciting.
Ross, does that resonate? Yeah, you went to Istanbul.
For me, it was Istanbul, actually. Yeah. First of all, coming in on a bus from the airport, old rickety bus, getting off, and it was about 5 o'clock in the evening. Streets being absolute, I mean, the absolute sheer volume of people, waves of people coming towards you and going against you, and the muezzins sing, you know, from the mosque, because it was prayer time, and thinking, oh my goodness, this is amazing. This is like a completely different world, which it was. And it's a place I've been back to many times, but it comes from that time when I was young and away. I was back there this November,
and
actually.
And you seek out those same places just for nostalgia?
When I went back to Istanbul the first time after I'd been there when I was very young, I was determined to find the hotel in the old city, and just from memory, and walked and walked and walked and walked, and eventually found it. And it was now a shop selling, you know, the knockoff football shirts. But I was delighted I'd found it. But yes, that, and Crete for me is another place. Yeah, Paliahora in the southwest. I shouldn't even be saying the word.
You don't want other people to discover it.
I don't want
it,
other
it?
People to go there. No, of course it's a gorgeous, very small town in the southwest of Crete, like a little peninsula. Huge sandy beach on one side, basically next stop Libya, other side a little rocky stony beach. To be honest, it hasn't changed very much at all. One main street, few locals. I think there's only about 2,500 locals live in the little town.
It's off the beaten track.
It's just idyllic. Yeah, I love it.
Alexandra, your rite of passage came via J1 in San Diego. Tell us.
I know, my poor mother, because I wasn't allowed to go on the Leaving Cert holiday, which is normally now these days the first solo trip, but I was 17 when I did my Leaving Cert, so it was an absolute no. So when I was 18, a summer later, I think my mum might regret it now, because that ended up being the wildest summer ever. So yeah, I went to San Diego on my J1. It was a year after the Corona song, San Diego song, came out.
That inspired
me to go. And to be honest, that song was just really showing us that there was loads of Irish people there. I think the first day I was there, I saw an Irish jersey on the beach with someone with red hair, white skin. It was hilarious. But yeah, that whole feeling of being somewhere so outside your culture, even though America, you would think it's quite similar. It's not. It's very different. But I just absolutely loved it. I did everything I'd ever wanted to do as a teenager that I was told not to do. Like, don't get a tattoo. Got a tattoo. Went to Las Vegas. I got a job. Like, in fairness for me, I always had jobs all the time. So I was never kind of hanging around as much. So I was always doing something. So I got a job. I was working over there. Me and one of my friends got this really swanky apartment because we both had jobs back in Ireland. Just the two of us, like, filled it with furniture. By the end of the summer, there was like 7 mattresses, 12 people living there, writing on the wall. I think we owed rent. It was crazy. But while I was there, Usage sent an email out to all the students being like, do not go to Mexico because they are taking people's passports and they're bribing people to get back into America. And I was like, oh, sure, because when you're 18, nothing bad
what
happens
could possibly
to you.
Go wrong? Let's like, go to Mexico.
So every Wednesday, when I talked to my friend about it the other day, she did the same on her J1. Every Wednesday, we went on a party bus which had strip poles all the way down, went to Tijuana, the most dangerous place. Nothing happened in Tijuana bar me getting my first tattoo at 2 in the morning while taking shots. But then I went to the safer part of Mexico, I thought, called Rosarito, which is a beach town. There my passport got stolen, and what I thought was going to happen did happen. So my poor parents, I only had enough credit to send one text and receive one text. The text out was to my dad. My parents were newly separated. Dad, I need $1,000, because they told me at when we got there was 3 of us, if you don't pay $1,000 each, you're not getting through. So sent the message to dad, reply from my mom, what's going on? No credit. God love them, they didn't hear from me for like 48 hours. I fully thought I was like dead. Went to the embassy here, like, God love them. And then I went to a Tijuana bank. They drove us down to get the money out, and I was just hoping the money was there, and it was. And we came across the border. So that was a bit of a wake-up call. And I was like, I remember the time being like, God, bad things can't happen. Because when you are that age, you're so careful. If it happened to me now, I'd probably have a panic attack. But as much as my parents probably hate that story, I love that that happened, because it changed me as a person. Even now, in comparison to my family, I travel alone all the time. I've been all over America, particularly. I've gone to the Cannes Film Festival by myself. It's really helped me in my job and my profession. Nothing worries me. Nothing scares me. I can just go off. If you were like, tomorrow you need to live in Romania for 6 months, grand, no problem. And it was the making of me in a way.
Because what did it teach you? Like, it's a scary experience. We don't recommend it for anyone listening.
But I think
what did it teach you?
It teaches you that you can survive it, and that you can handle things without your parents, I suppose. That's why it was such a rite of passage in a way, because if something like that happened in Ireland, it would have been all like, what can they do? How can they help? I had to, you know, put on my big girl pants and figure it out by myself, and it was fine, and I got a resolution, and like, I survived. And that was obviously a very dramatic version of things. I've had other holidays where things like that haven't happened. Like, I did my Erasmus in Italy and I lived there for 6 months. But again, when when I moved there, I was fine. And there was other people so homesick. But I think when you're put into the world and you have to make these really serious adult decisions, you're paying for your own way, you're in your own accommodation, you're trying to bribe the police, you learn a lot.
Listening to Alexandra tell that story of a bus across the border into Mexico, Ross, reminds me, I think you also had your own mystery bus experiences growing up.
Not quite as exotic as Ali's. When I was young, under the age of 10, our next door neighbours, Maud and Bobby Baxter, who were like the lights of my life, like second family to me. Maud was a great woman, and she used to say in the summer, we'll do one of the mystery tours. Now, a mystery tour back then was you got on a bus. I think it wasn't a private enterprise. I think it was done through, you know, in the normal run of things in Coleraine. You got on a bus. It might be an afternoon trip, or it might be you'd have your tea. Destination unknown, and off you'd go. And I'd go with them, and Mervyn and Ivan, their two sons. I was smack bang in the middle age-wise. So the three of us, Maud and Bobby, and Maud and I would always be dying to end up in Ballycastle, because in Ballycastle it was great ice cream in a shop along the seafront there. And if we ended up in a few unnameable places, we were not so happy. But the mystery tours, it was great fun, and I don't think they do them anymore.
Brendan Kelly, you like that sort of mystery as well, I think. When you travel abroad, you purposely get yourself lost in cities.
Yes, it can be quite difficult nowadays to get lost, given the mobile phones and Google Maps and what have you. And I mean, I don't have experiences to rival shots, tattoos and bribing the police in Mexico, let alone the mystery bus to Ballycastle for ice cream, both of which sound delightful. But what is lovely, I remember the first time I arrived in Bangalore in India, going into this huge, vast market and getting immediately and quite profoundly lost, because it is a very big, you know, Bangalore is an enormous city with like 40 million people in the metropolitan area. And you know, I looked around the market and I was utterly, utterly lost. And I realised that was so exciting. It's something I miss, being lost. It's quite hard to get lost. And sometimes it's good to be lost, provided you don't feel terrified, although Ali's experience of being terrified seems to have only helped.
Yeah.
Ross, where do you hope to get lost in this summer when the sun comes out?
Well, on home territory in Ireland, I love Connemara. So I would head. I love the little beach at Renville, where you walk onto the beach and the cows have their heads over the fence on the right hand side and the ocean is on the left, and there's jellyfish usually scattered around. Other than that, I will probably towards the end of the summer head back to Paliahora. Oh, I said the word again. head back to there in Crete, and I'm hoping, but maybe it won't be until the autumn, I'd like to go to Tirana in Albania. Just for the experience of that. But I'm not a sun lounger person, so even in Paliahora and Crete with its beautiful beach, I don't think I have ever in 30 odd years lain on a sun lounger. I go and swim early in the morning, dry off, take my book with me, come back, potter around during the day, move around the little town, and then go back again at tea time, have another swim, and off I go.
Alexandra, will you be getting lost like Brendan here, or staying away from
lounger.
The sun?
Okay. I'm a sun lounger person. I've done my adventures now, I think, given my family enough heart attacks. So I actually still love travelling a lot. I do a lot for work, which is great, but even just for myself, I can never take a full week or 2 weeks off. God, I would love to. Just running a business is not possible. But I'm in Antibes next week, so I'm looking forward to being there. I've only ever been there for the Cannes Film Festival, and I was in Monaco once, so I'm trying to like have a bit of a relaxing trip there. I think that's it for the rest of the summer. I'd love to go to, I've only ever been to Zakynthos and Athens, but I'd love to explore Greece more, because my mom, when she was younger, like slept on beaches, went on these kind of island hopping things back in the day, and I'd love to see more of it. Like, I'd love to go to Santorini and Mykonos and all that sort of thing, but I am so bad at just going other places. I would love to explore Ireland more. Like, I've only been to Kerry once, which is just sacrilege. Like, I need to really spend more time there. So I'd love to maybe do some trips at home this summer and just take in the scenery.
Brendan Kelly, just finally, all of the memories we've talked about and the senses and the happiness and the getting lost and the adventures, is it just that it's so important to break out of our routines, the mundane, the predictable, and that's how we refuel, give ourselves an energy recharge?
Yes, it's not necessarily about the amount of time spent somewhere. It's more making the change, making the shift. You know, time doesn't just go in a line. There are dimensions to how we experience time. The big thing is getting out of our heads and getting more into our bodies, be it with the early morning swims, or I'm not so certain about the tattoos at 2 a.m. But these are all very...
I don't recommend it.
Don't worry, it's not going to happen. But these sensory aspect of the summer is the most important thing, and this opens us up to connection with families, with ourselves and with other people, and that's what it's about.
Well, here's looking forward to lots of sunshine days this summer. Thank you so much for that, writer Rosalind Dee, CEO and founder of goths.ie Alexandra Ryan, Professor of Psychiatry in Trinity College Brendan Kelly, and your book, Resilience, Brendan, is still in bookshops, and you'll be in conversation with Katrina Crowe on the topic of resilience at the Galway International Arts Festival on July 21. More details on giaf.ie. Thank you, one and all. We'll be back after these.